Good morning. I tell you what, it is amazing to be here with all of you and, of course, all of those watching live and in color from their homes or wherever it is you might be. And I tell you, this has been on my mind. This moment right here has been on my mind for a long time. Because, of course, some of you know me. Of course, some of you don't. And, of course, I am Josh Copley. And a few years ago, we had a minister. His name was Taylor Bell. And me and him got really close together. And while he was on his way out in his final year or so, I was watching him preach one morning. I was like, that's what I want to do. I thought I could pull it off. And I never really thought about public speaking before then until Mr. Woody Woodruff got me to go to Coble. And I thought, man, what a dream it would be to finally be able to speak at my home congregation, Fairfield Church of Christ, on Sunday morning. Flash forward a few years later, and here I am. So it's truly an exciting time. So with that being said, I'm going to slap a sticker that says, Josh Copley, 2021, Fairfield Minister. I'm starting my campaign. Make Fairfield great again. I don't see Mike Kelly here, so I think I'm okay to say that. But nonetheless, speaking of new things, as it's still January of a new year, I wanted to talk about new beginnings. So what does January symbolize? It symbolizes a new year. And with the new year, this one being 2021, it comes new beginnings, new challenges, and new accomplishments that come from those new challenges. And that can be spiritual, or it might not be. Now, when I think of a new beginning, I think of one of the greatest quarterbacks, Tom Brady. Of course, he played with the New England Patriots for 20 years and won 6 Super Bowls and multiple MVPs. But this past year, he announced that he was leaving. And everyone assumed he was retiring as his age is starting to become a factor at 43 years old. But then he ends up going to Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers. He starts over, and that was his new beginning. And in his first year, he took the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl. Of course, that game is a week from today, I believe. So we'll see if he can complete his mission. But that's an example of a new beginning. But not every new beginning that's not through God won't be successful. Some might be. I know how many of you in here make New Year's resolutions to never think of them again after the first week. Seriously. But we've all experienced many setbacks and failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks, and these failures to enslave us and to hold us down to the point that we never really enjoy this beautiful Christian life that God has given us. You know, maybe you're stuck in a dead-end job, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I went into the wrong career, and now there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life until I can retire. Or maybe you get married, only to find out that the marriage is a failure. It may end in divorce, or it may survive as a tragic, unending event of fights and arguments. Or we say something to a friend that ends up ostracizing them from us for the rest of our lives. Maybe you told them, hey, I like pineapple on pizza. And then they just separated themselves, which I can't blame them, of course, because it doesn't belong there. But all jokes aside, maybe you got into a dispute and now you lost a friendship. But yet, Christ tells us in John's Gospel, and if you'd like to turn to John 10, verse 10, you can do so at this time. And it reads like this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So let's go back to January, we were talking about earlier. Statistically speaking, people try to change themselves in this particular month more than any other time of the year. People recklessly approach the new year and dive headfirst into things they truly don't understand. Why? Well, simply put, just looking for a new beginning, a fresh start. So how do we try to do that for a new year? Well, we try it through absurd resolutions, maybe job hopping, maybe having an affair or two outside of marriage. Maybe you're increasing your drug and alcohol intake, and maybe you're just blowing money on new things. Now, I never understood the hype around wanting to spend money on new things because, I mean, much like music, we all know the old stuff is better than the new stuff anyway. But simply put, all people search for beginnings. But God, our Creator, He was well aware that we needed a fresh start, a new beginning. So what did He give us? Well, He gave us the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're going to read there. And it reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All real new beginnings begin with Christ Jesus. You have to be born again. And of course, we see in John, the Pharisee Nicodemus is talking to Jesus. And Jesus tells him, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus asks a pretty silly question. He asks, so does that mean I have to go back into my mother's womb and physically be born again? And I always read that. I think that's hilarious. Because the Pharisees, as you know, with Nicodemus, they're supposed to be one of the most scholarly, at least biblically speaking, one of the most scholarly people on the planet when it comes to religion. And here Nicodemus was asking if he had to physically be born again through his mother. But God is the only one that makes you realize that you need a fresh start. Now, it's not you. You may think, oh, if I have this, then I'll be happy for the rest of the new year until something else comes along and I'll have to buy that. But that's when you're making decisions on your own, not with the guidance of God. So do you get tired of always starting over? And this is an honest question because I do. Always hitting the reset button. Well, then it's time to redirect your focus this morning. Because simply put, starting over is a process with God. It's not an overnight thing that'll happen immediately. You have to trust the process and trust God's plan for you. But at the beginning of a new year, it's customary to think of it as a time of new beginnings, a time for new resolutions, ridiculous or otherwise. But the truth is that with God, any time is a time for a new beginning. Doesn't matter the day, doesn't matter the month, doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter the time of the day. So now as we get into our points of how to have a new beginning with God, our first main passage comes from Isaiah 43, 16 and 17. If you'd like to turn there, you can. And it reads, once again, Isaiah 43, 16 through 17, it reads, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Now, in this particular instance, we see God overruling in the affairs of men. We see God overruling in the affairs of men and giving the forefathers their fresh start that they need. Now, God takes us to places of dependence. Because, realistically thinking, when we're riding high, you know, emotionally, physically, no matter what it might be, when we're riding high, we think, I don't need God. I'm doing great. So then God humbles you a little bit, or the world humbles you a little bit, and takes you down a few notches. Maybe you get fired from a job. Maybe your finances become unstable. But whatever that place of dependence is, that's where God creates your new beginning. Because people realize they're nothing without God when they're taken to that low point of their life. And God will give you new blessings as a result. Now, Isaiah 43:18 reads, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't look back, simply put. Have you ever seen maybe some old action movies where the cool guy never looks at explosions, right? Well, that explosion behind you may be your life falling apart. So don't look back and only look forward to God. But it's one thing to remember past successes, but it's another to live in the past. And as a Tennessee Volunteers football fan, that's something that I suffer from a little too much, even though I wasn't even alive in 1998, but, you know, national champions. But our faith is often limited by what we have experienced in the past. An example of this is the movie God's Not Dead. And I really enjoy referencing this movie because it's phenomenal. It's a great message. But the professor, he's super atheistic. He tells the students that God's not dead, tells them to write it down, and tries to hammer it in their minds that God is not real and that he is dead and gone. But why did he think that? Well, at a young age, he lost his mother to a disease, cancer, I believe, and that hindered his relationship with God. He blamed him all his life until he became bitter, and he wanted everyone else to feel the same way he did. So our faith is often limited by what we have experienced in the past. Now, Israel was where they were in the Bible because of a history of failures and a history of disobedience. Yet God says, don't look back at the past. Because no matter all the bad things they have done, all the times they failed, all the times Israel had come up short, God still had things work out for the best for them. God makes all things new. When we come to Christ, we become a new creation. All things become new through him. In Isaiah 42, verse 9, if you'd like to read, it reads like this. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God is a creator. God is king. He makes new things. Now, what we try to do with God, we try to put him in this little box, right? So that we can understand him, so that we can think we have a grasp on his knowledge, his wisdom, and his power. But God can do things with your life of which you've never seen before. Because God is far greater than this box we try to put him in. He is vast. He is beyond our comprehension. But God is only getting started. And in Isaiah 43, I know we're hopping around a lot here, but God, in Isaiah 43, 19, it reads, Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Once God delivered Israel by making a path through the water, now water will make a path in the desert. God is not predictable as much as we like to think he is. You know, there are some things in our life that are predictable, like the college football playoffs. We know Alabama's going to win the national title every year. That's just how it is. And I know Loft probably appreciated that one, you know, Roll Tide. But that kind of hurt me to say a little bit. Anyway, he does not deliver the same way each time. Everyone has a different story. Each one of you here this morning is going through something different. How he heals one is not how he may heal you. So you may be sitting there struggling and you look to the person to the left and God has given them a great blessing. You think, well, when's that coming to me? Well, the fact of the matter is you may not get that same blessing. You may get something just as good or maybe even something better. But if it's not as good, just know that's what you need most at that particular time. So can't you see it? Can you not see that this plan that God has for you? Isaiah 43:20 reads, The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. Become a blessing to others, simply put. Now hear me out. When you follow God's plan, you become this new creation, everyone else will want to follow suit. They'll want to see what you've become, and they say, I want that. I want to become a new creation in God. And so they will. So let's read Isaiah 43:21, and it reads, The people whom I form myself, that they may declare my praise. Now this is a pretty interesting verse here, because you were created for God's praise. Now that I think about it, why would he leave you to die in the desert? I'm sure there's been a time where many of us have felt abandoned by God. We think, where is he? You know, this God of love, this God cares for me, his creator, I haven't seen him. But why would he leave you to die in the desert? When he desires you to bring him praise, that's what he wants. If you wanted someone to praise you, I know we don't praise other people, but if you wanted someone to acknowledge your great achievements, why would you kick into the curb and just disregard what they said? You wouldn't, because you want to take in what they're telling you. And God is similar to that. He will do what's best for you so that you bring him praise in the end. Now, what's your desert experience? Like I said earlier, I named many things that people try for a new year that ends up crashing and burning. So maybe that's the source of your desert experience. Now, I want to break off for a little bit from my main points. This is something that I kind of wanted to say personally. But a new beginning doesn't have to be just an individual effort. Let's take Fairfield Church of Christ, for example. What would a new beginning look like for us here? Imagine one Sunday morning, you walk in. Every single pew, every single seat is filled. People packed shoulder to shoulder. Of course, this is after, you know, COVID, so I don't want to be insensitive. But imagine you walk in shoulder to shoulder. Not a pew is open. What if you walk in and see people having to sit in the floors? What if the men of the congregation had to walk over to the fellowship hall, grab some chairs over here for people to sit because people are that excited about coming to Fairfield because we are on fire for our Lord Christ Jesus? Imagine people crowd downstairs in the basement just to be in the same building, just to watch it on a screen because they want to be a part of the same energy that we're giving off to our community that God is the Father and that we know his truth. Imagine the youth. Imagine in the field house. Imagine there's so many kids in there, it's deafening. Imagine there's nowhere to sit in there. People, the kids, are that excited to learn about God. But imagine that we had to buy two or three more vans or buses out there because there's more elderly that need to be picked up because they're excited to come to this church and to share that same energy with us because we know the truth and we want to give back. I just want to leave that thought in your head. I just wanted to paint an illustration for you of what could be if we as a church start over and have a new beginning. Everyone in here is great. I'm sure I've met all of you at least once in my life, whether you know you remember it or whether I remember it. I'm not complaining about the congregation we have now. You know, this congregation is great, but with God, all things can be made better no matter how good we think they are now. So just a thought to leave you with. So, to become a new creation, to have a new beginning, there are two simple steps. Step one, quit making excuses. I know that's a little blunt. It's always too soon to quit. Whether you've been battling for a year, a month, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. It's always too soon to quit. The Bible tells us, quit making excuses. Admit when it's our fault and push on through life and its challenges. Now, I've discovered that people who are good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. They spend their energy thinking up reasons why they can't do what they are supposed to do. So another food for thought, instead of making excuses, imagine if everyone in here asked just one person, just one guest to come to church next Sunday maybe, or the Sunday after, or maybe a few months down the road, doesn't matter. At some point, if you all asked one person that vision of a packed Fairfield where we can worship together in greater numbers could come to pass. Doubling the numbers if you just ask one. Step two, act in faith. New beginnings come to those who step out in faith. To change anything in your life by the power of God takes faith. Now Matthew 9:29 reads, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." Now when I talk about growing the numbers of Fairfield or having a new beginning with the church, that doesn't mean so we can have big numbers, we can brag to other churches and talk about how great we are. No. It's to be in faith and to want to fellowship with others because that is what God wants us to do. But my other points this morning, they can be used for individual new beginnings or they can be used as of new beginnings for the church. Now this morning, if you feel like you need a new beginning with God to become a new creation, or if you want to put Christ on in baptism, you can do so at this time. That's the other we stand and sing.